Welcome to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And today we're talking about cooking in your home.
Yes, we are.
And cooking in your home, Cindy, that means you've got to deal with your kitchen, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, because my kitchen, I bought my house about 2 years ago, and it absolutely needed to be renovated for me, and I know that you renovated your kitchen when you bought your house, and then we just built a professional kitchen, our sixth restaurant, so I thought it would be fun to talk about those three different perspectives.
I'm reminded, thinking about people's home kitchens, every time I get invited into someone's home, you know, what you can't help but turn your eye to how their kitchen is organized.
Well, you would. I wouldn't. I would sit there and enjoy myself.
I know. Well,
you would sit there and be critical.
I'm sort of an analytical jerk. We all know this.
Oh, all right. Okay,
so
you said so.
I can't help it.
Here we go.
And so what I always
notice...
So
you're going in there and tearing up people's kitchens?
No,
no.
No one's ever going to invite you over now.
But
I notice things like... can you see in the cabinets, the height of the cabinets, how much work surface there actually is, how much stuff there is on the work surface?
Yeah.
Is there actually
room
to do?
I think that's the biggest difference between a professional chef or people that cook for their living and people that have home kitchens.
Is there room to do different projects, or are there stacks of books in a place, or
right,
a bunch of clothing somewhere? Or
or flower arrangements.
Or
knick-knacky things. Oh, boy, everybody's going to get mad when they hear me say that. But, no. I mean, for me, I need the counters to be clear. Clear.
Yeah.
Clear. And equipment put away so you have as much work surface as possible. And also, you know, all that stuff's getting dirty sitting there,
and
frankly.
Once in a while, we are asked to do, especially years ago, a charity event where you were to go and cook in someone's home.
Right.
And you're always a little bit like, what kind
what's
of
it going to be
oven
like?
Is going to be like, what's the range that's going to be there? And then the greatest danger in the world is how big is the sink and how much hot water do they actually have available to you to like clean up as
one
you go or afterwards.
One of the reasons why I've never done off-premise and you have.
Well, I spent a lot of time doing that, you know, when I was in hotel school to try to get through school.
Right.
And you would go into someone's house and they have an electric range, and if you don't have heavy bottom,
there's a lot to think about when you're planning a kitchen.
So to do the one in my house, I'd spent a lot of time enjoying the company of many people whose kitchens I hated because they weren't functional.
All right.
So the first things I thought about were how much work surface I was going to get. What did I want the room to feel like? What was the light going to be like in the kitchen? And for my house, I have put in the huge windows across the back of the kitchen that look out to the woods, which is terrific. There were these tiny windows before. It was really sort of strange.
It was a big change to that kitchen.
Yeah, that was a significant change. The other was just how much work surface, you know, could I gang together in one straight shot? So to me, one of the most important things, and something not many people I think would do in a home kitchen, is I put refrigeration under the counter.
It's a good use of space.
Well, it is, and I didn't expect to keep, a giant amount of refrigerated product for long term.
Right. You want to have things be fresh, and that's probably one of the differences between the way that we cook and maybe other people think about cooking.
And I also wanted to control the temperature in different zones at different temperatures, and refrigerated drawers that go under the counter, you can do that. I can have four different temperatures for four different drawers.
What do you have in those drawers? What's the reason for that one? Let them know.
The one is honestly, is cheese and like bottled product,
which is great.
Things because the cheese aromas are going to seep into anything else. Because Lord knows I like stinky cheeses.
Absolutely.
To have around the house, one is all fresh product that's ready to go for whatever project, especially produce and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
One is going to be proteins,
which you need very cold.
Yeah, to keep them safe.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is for any product that's already been cooked. Essentially, you know, your leftover drawer, prepared foods, or
which is kind of nice to be able to organize it that way, as well as have the different temperature ranges for the different products.
And I keep in the basement a big refrigerator to put, you know, bulk things in or things ready for a dinner party or something like that. But
that's where we agree. I have the same thing. You know, I have two refrigerators in the basement.
One of the goals in the house for me was, instead of having to do the charity event at someone else's home, I have a place where I could actually, you know what, if I wanted to have 40 people for a stand-up event or something, or for a seated lunch or something like that, my kitchen can actually produce that if I'm organized to do that.
That's great.
And I have enough work surface because of the refrigeration under the counter and where the sink is in the line of things, that there really, four people could work pretty effectively in that kitchen. The only thing is just the one, you know, the one at one commercial grade range. It's not one of the fancy name guys. It's Blue Star, but I've been very, very happy with it.
Your range is excellent. I think it's a great product.
It's got, you know, what you look for. I mean, if it's functionality, you're looking for BTUs, a power.
Exactly.
And honestly, and that the oven actually calibrates correctly, meaning that it carries the temperature the way that it should. So if it says 350, it's 350. It's not 380.
And how many ovens do you have?
Just the one oven.
And you've been okay with that? Because we've done the manager party at your house, and that's, what, 100 people,
that's
80
close
people?
To, yeah, 80, 85
which
people.
Which is pretty amazing that you got that done with one oven. That's that to me is,
well,
you know.
Well, part of it is also just organizing the menu correctly so that you're utilizing things on top of the burners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're using things in the oven. You don't have too many things that you have to hold in certain ways. That's the.
And you don't have a grill outside either.
I do, but I wasn't. That party is in January, and I'm not going to go outside in January. Unlike you,
I would.
I'm not tough enough to go outside in January like you and grill.
I would. No, I would use every cooking surface available to me.
Keep my tender self inside, where it's warm.
All right.
The other thing that happens, I think, in people's homes a lot, and that I was really thinking about, was the fan. People always have this little tiny dinky fan that sounds like there's a mouse running around in the engine.
Are you talking about for your hood?
For my hood.
Right.
Yeah. What people don't think of it, we think of it as a hood because that's a commercial term.
Okay.
But literally, it's something that's like a hood that hangs over your range and over your oven. Let's just say you decided you're going to make a curry or something at home. If you did not have a good fan, your entire house is going to smell like that curry.
Yeah. You really,
for the next 2 days.
And you really need it to vent outside.
It needs to vent outside.
Not recirculate.
One of the things that I did was make sure that you could never do that properly with a center island range without running a long run for that hood.
Mm-hmm.
And we made sure that we put essentially an oversized motor so that it had a good draw.
Good. That's great.
You know, that's the only thing that makes
What kind of hood do you have?
It's the same, the Blue Star that they make with
it's the same line.
But I had the electricians upsize the motor.
That was smart.
So
you have tile on your walls, right?
Yeah, the walls are super cleanable because, especially behind the range, instead of just a little backsplash, when you cook, especially if you're cooking a lot of volume, and even though the hood draws a lot of fat through the air from whatever you're cooking, if you're cooking a lot of volume, it is going to be in the air, it is going
to
land,
absolutely,
and it's going to coalesce onto whatever surface is close to your.
Does your tile go all the way up to your ceiling height?
It goes. It's counter to ceiling.
Okay. That's interesting. Mine's going to go to the top of my window frames. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
that's a good idea. Which is probably reasonable. I just didn't feel like having the sort of like the dusty, greasy business collect in the corners.
Absolutely.
The way that.
No, it's a good idea to have it go all the way up. It costs a lot of money. So that's something you have to consider when you're deciding on your tile, your pattern, how much it costs.
The other thing that I thought about when doing mine was the space is more wide. It's not a giant square space. It's a 100-year-old house. It doesn't have this sort of great room that sort of has a kitchen landing in the middle of it,
right?
That many people do. And I don't particularly love an island. While I want to talk to people while I'm working on food, I really don't feel like cutting off my left pinky because I'm talking to them so they can talk to my back, honestly.
That would be really, really bad. So probably might ruin the dinner party if you did that.
Sort of squirting blood all over their food.
God, that's unsanitary, Tony.
It's like that Saturday Night Live skit with Dan Aykroyd playing Julia Child.
Yes.
Sorry.
Ooh.
Exactly.
Right.
That's one of those things that, so instead of having an island in the kitchen that many people would, but people kind of gather around and they put out, you know, chips and dip and that sort of business. And while I'm very happy to put snacks out for people, I put a table at regular seating height, you know, sort of by the back wall where there's the fireplace in the kitchen. And people can sit there and chat, and I have another little high spot where people can sit up a little higher and chat.
I think the elevated seating is nice. And if you have kids, I bet that's nice. Well, you know, to be able to be together that way. And you have a lower dining room table in your kitchen as well. So you have both areas to seat. That's really nice.
So because what happens at the beginning of any dinner party or something is, you know, you're working on food and everyone comes in. So there's good space for, you know, 6, 7, 8 people to be in the kitchen. And you can still, instead of being in the middle of them, distracted, you know, that you end up spending your time. I end up spending my time working on food. And if I can stop, turn around and speak with them and see them. But
yes. And you have a unusual faucet, don't you?
I do. That's the other thing in the sink in everyone's house when doing the catering jobs over the years. you always try to put a giant pot underneath the sink, and you know you can't get any water in the God bless the thing because you can't get the pot back out with water in it. Just the logistics of it are a nightmare. The sink faucet is also a hose and has a couple different settings to it. So, and the sink is a big, deep sink. That's one of those things that...
That's what I did, too. I think that's a big deal.
If your sink doesn't easily fit the largest cooking equipment that you use...
You're in trouble.
You can't wash it.
Right.
And you can't fill it with water. You know, you can't do the things that you need to do.
Well, it's not, you know, it's nice to be able to wash a sheet pan in a sink, too. You know, I realize a full-size sheet pan that we would use at the restaurant is really big. But even our half-sheet pans, I've had sinks where I couldn't get a half-sheet pan in there. So to have that, you know... elongated faucet that you can kind of move around. It's on a hose, and that's just so, you know, makes things so much easier. You can also swing that over and fill up a pot on your counter with that,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Which
right.
is another great advantage. I know a lot of people are doing this thing where they have a faucet, you know, on their stove, on the back wall of their stove, and that kind of worries me. I feel like I'm going to run into it. It seems like it's in the way. So if you take care of that business, you know, while at your faucet, if it's not at your sink, if it's not too far away from your stove, I think you can solve that.
Well, those are the kinds of things that always seem slightly overcomplicated and always seem like, even in restaurant kitchens, you have like the special faucet that goes to some, you know, giant braising pan or something. Inevitably, that is the piece that is going to break.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
If you keep it simple and clean, I think that was one of my biggest goals in the kitchen and the house was to keep it simple and clean and functional. And how do I actually want to cook? And I'm not going to do, you know, I'll do several hors d'oeuvres for people, mm-hmm. but I'm not going to do four different hot courses or something. I don't want to spend that much time
in the kitchen.
Just flat out working on food and not any time with guests. So
right.
I'm interested to see how, because you have the advantage of watching what I did and deciding what you do and do not like mm-hmm. from what my plan was.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you have different ambitions. I'm very interested to see how your kitchen turns out. And when we come back, please give me an idea where you think it's going to go. And
okay.
we'll have to come back at some point and do, this is what I thought it was going to be like, and this is
definitely.
What I messed up. Because
yeah.
I think my biggest mistake, as big as the sink is, and as functional as it is not putting a second one in there.
A second sink.
A second sink.
That's so nice to have a second sink. I don't have room for one, unfortunately,
yeah,
in my kitchen.
That's the one thing I would say.
Yeah, I'd like to have a second trash can and a second sink. You know, a second work area with a second,
yeah,
you
that's
know, that would be so
because
great.
Because when you think about it, you're trying to get several projects done at one time.
Yes.
And almost always you need
the
sink
to get
those
done. Well, and also there's that service.
But we'll get
okay,
into
we'll
it when we get back. We'll do,
okay.
When we come back, we have a number of emailed questions from listeners that were sent into foremanwolf@wypr.org. And you're welcome to send your questions there. And we'll get into Cindy's kitchen plan and tear it all to pieces. When we come back on Foreman Wolf on Food & Wine.